everybody. Take the pressure down today because our beloved Pastor Tony and Cheryl is away on holidays. So when that happens, I'm it. So it's pressure. It's pressure. So just getting a little bit of loose of take the pressure down. So how are you? All good? You're doing well? Just a quick promo for all our women. If you're a woman here today, I want to promo the women's breakfast. It's coming up on Saturday, the 22nd of September at 8:30. So there's some. It's $15 and it's $10 per student. So, you know, please come and invite someone along. There's a few flyers in the front located in our foyer. So just grab a few and then just invite someone along and bring someone along. That would be a good thing. Excellent. So as I said, Pastor Tony and Cheryl's away and they're in the land of Phuket for 2 weeks. So hopefully they won't get swallowed up in the monsoon or tsunami or anything like that, because apparently that's the weather station at the moment. So we're praying that they come back. They will be coming back. I make sure of that, they will be coming back. So you have me for a couple of weeks and I'll be sharing a series of sermon, 2 weeks of sermon about a topic that I really want to talk about. And I'm so excited that I get to do this, even though there's a pressure to preach the Word of God. But God's given me a thought and a framework of that, and I've just been reflecting on it, and I believe that we need to, as a church, to hear about this topic. You know, I don't know if you've heard from some, probably a couple of weeks ago, there's a pastor in the US that actually, you know, he's only about 30 years of age or something like that. They're in ministry, he's got two kids, and he took his own life. So I don't know why, but I would safely assume that he was in a lot of pressure. And, you know, life does that. You know, we don't know, and so we think, you know, when we are in a pressure situation, we kind of just want to end it and think that will be the best solution. But I think, you know, we need to, as a church, be armed that is not the solution, you know, of things. Because the people that you leave behind is, what do they do? So it's pressure. The pressure of life, the pressure of the things, of who we are, the pressure of making it, making ends meet, is a lot as a person. And, you know, this is what I've heard it said, and I'm sure you've heard it too, that you never really know yourself until you see yourself under pressure. And isn't that true? Pressure can make you or break you. Some people strive on pressure. Some people cave in. Some people explode, or propel them to the next level. I don't know about you, but I strive under pressure. I like pressure. However, when there's too much, I do cave in. I'm human like anyone else. So it's not until you are put in a pressure situation where you realize there's some growing in that area, in that particular area. So you have two options when pressure comes upon your life. You either press on or pull out. And I don't know anyone here in this room that have not experienced pressure. Whether it was this week or last week, pressure is all around us. Pressure, financial pressures, relational, social, and health, just to name a few. No one in this auditorium today have never experienced pressure, am I right? I think most of us who are living actually at some point have had that. So this morning I just want to talk to us about this topic, about pressure and how it affects a part of our life, and that is our peace. We need to address the stress and increase the peace. and how to have peace under pressure. And I'm sharing this word because I've come from a place the last 18 months of pressure. Some of you may not know that because, you know, I seem to hide it pretty well. But pressure. And my peace has been shaken. And so I want to talk about that today. And so the title of my message, if you want a title, is Peace Under Pressure. So I'm going to do a bit of interactive preaching today. Is that okay? Yeah. So could I have a couple of guys just have a look at the whiteboard for me, please? So yesterday, I posted on my Facebook a thing that says, What is the one thing people want in their life? What is the one thing, or if you want to sum it up, what is the one thing that people want on their life? So I'll just, where's my red pen? Okay, I'm not a very good drawer, so please forgive me. So I'm just going to do a circle. Okay, so when I posted that status on my Facebook, there's a couple of people that said, okay, well, you know, there's some silly ones there, but, you know, it's okay, that's still, you know, okay. So someone said stability, so we'll put maybe green. So stability. Someone says contentment. We did have an interactive whiteboard, by the way, but I didn't want to use it because Pastor Tony, it's new and I didn't want to use it just before he... So I just thought I'd do this one. So contentment. What else did they put in? Health. So health. Somebody said happiness. Somebody said coconut trees. Oh, no. Somebody said their spouse, Lloydie. So somebody said, oh, I don't know, what else did they say? Love. What else? Peace. I'll talk that in a minute. You know, in of this themselves, this is okay. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But what happens if, let's say, oh, someone said security. Okay. What happens if your money goes funny? You know, the security goes. It only takes an email or a phone call or a letter from your doctor to say your health is actually not well. Okay? What if your business just fails? Happiness goes. What if your spouse get a little bit, loving? Probably weird. What happens with all of these things? Your peace gets shaken. Your peace is put under pressure. Now you've got to realize peace is much deeper because all of these things in itself are not, are good. But when it's reliant and dependent upon something that's not really tangible, where peace is tangible. Peace is something that you may not be able to see, but it's there. And you know, the good thing about that is that it's not of this world. God gives us peace that passes all understanding. Peace that's in here without a shadow of a doubt, with a conviction that God is going to be with you. So does that make sense? I hope I explained that a little bit. If you can just take that away from me. Or we'll maybe just leave it there. Doesn't matter. Sorry. So, peace under pressure. And I just want to put some foundational thought on all of the context and why I'm preaching this. And this is not going to be my points, but everlasting peace can only come from the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Sometimes we use the word Prince of Peace at Christmas time, but it's not just related to that. It is the Prince of Peace that brings peace in our world. Like, everybody goes, world peace, I want just peace, I just want this and that. But they're looking for a peace that is not even, that is temporary. It's not a peace that God can give. You know, peace is not a picture of a beach. You know, some people, I just want to have some peace and quiet, I'll go down the beach. Or it's not a dolphin coming out of the water or something like that. You know, that's not peace. Peace is not when your children are quiet and you're watching Netflix and chilling and watching and a kind of beverage in your hand. Notice I said beverage. Peace is not when your teenagers finally get out of the house because they don't have to obey your rules. That's not what peace is. No money, no job, no relationship, no status in life can ever give you the peace that only God can give. Because you see, peace is internal. Peace of mind, peace of heart. Peace is not something you have to strive for. Peace is a gift that God has already given us. And the Prince of Peace has done that. So the second thing, the foundational truth, is that God promises peace to his people. In John 14:27, maybe you can take that actually because people can't see the board. Sorry. Thank you. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." You know, God has promised us, and Pastor Tony touched on this on the couple of sermon series he talked about, the journey and also fighting for your future, is that God has promised us a life that is good, but it's not easy. Who could testify to that? We have a good life, but there are things in our life that are not easy that you have to go through. And only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can give us the peace that passes all understanding. In Psalm 29, verse 11, it says, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." So like I said, it's a gift from God. You don't have to strive for it. And it's yours for the taking today. And if you're here this morning and you don't know what peace is, the peace of God that's actually deeper than what you already know and the peace that you have been grabbing for is temporary, I want to give you an opportunity at the conclusion of my sermon is to give you that peace that only God can give by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. The third foundational truth I want to talk is that pursuing God leads to a life of peace. Romans 8:6, it says, "The mind is governed by the flesh, and by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." So you can't do whatever you want to do and expect peace. There is a certain standard that God has, the right thing for you to obtain peace. So you have two options. You can have supernatural peace that comes from the Prince of Peace, or you can have superficial peace that comes from the Prince of Darkness. So my foundational scripture that I want to anchor the series of sermon about peace under pressure is found in the book of John, chapter 16. So in summary, in this particular book, Jesus was telling the disciples that, hey, I'm going to back to the Father, you know, when I'm being crucified and everything like that. But, you know, you'll have plenty of troubles and trials and everything like that. But don't worry, you know, I've come and I will leave with you my peace. So in John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So basically Jesus is telling us that you will have troubles, you will have tribulations, you will have things that will knock you around, you'll have pressure. Your money will go funny. Everything seems to be around you could be falling apart. But God says, don't fear. Like we sang that song this morning, it says, "Be still and know that the Lord is in control. I will not fear because you are here." These are not just words. Like God is reassuring us that in the pressure moments of our life, we can stand and in conviction that God is with us. And so Jesus is giving them a warning. You don't have to do this alone because I've already done this for you. You know, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace isn't found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of God. We need to remind ourselves today that we need to be still and know and trust Him. Easier said than done. But God has done it for you and He's given you that peace. Just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean God isn't working. Can I say that? Just because you've been waiting for 40 years, maybe not. I'm just saying that if you're waiting for a long, long time, there are certain things that you must go through that will put you under pressure to see what you're really made out of. So there are three things I want to talk about in order to live a life of peace. First point I want to point out today is that peace has a certain sound. We need to start our day with thankfulness and gratefulness. You know, when we wake up in the morning, and you can answer this for yourself, what is the one word that comes out of your lips? Oh, it's morning. Do I have to go to work? Or, I need coffee. You know, what is it that comes out the first thing? Do I have to wake up? You know, we have a gift that we open every morning. Two things that we open every morning, and that's our eyes. We open our eyes to see another sunlight. We open our eyes and we're able to see the goodness and the glorious wonder of God's creation. And I wonder this morning, what is the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Awesome. Keep continuing to do that. And so, thanksgiving and gratefulness is called praise. This is why we praise and worship at the beginning when people come to church, because there's so many things that's happening in our life that sometimes we've got to come back to the center of our existence, and that's praising our Father. You know, it's not about the fact that we sing songs. It's not about the fact that we have 25 minutes to kind of fill in. You know, it's about the fact that we give praise to the one who's done it all. We give praise to the one who's actually done it all for us and that is continuing to do things for us. It's not so that we can waste time. It is to give praise to the name above all names. You know, God doesn't have an ego problem or a self-esteem problem, the fact that we need to praise Him. It's just that we praise Him because it's good for our soul. It's getting us back to the center of our existence, and that God is in control. And God, I thank You that I've woken up this morning. I thank You that I'm still alive, that regardless of what's going around in my world, that thank You that You've given me some air to breathe. And that's about thanking God. Psalm 89:15 in the Message Bible says, "Blessed are the people who know the password of praise." You know, like I said, there's a certain sound, a certain knock that enters us into His presence. So that's a secret knock that enters us is the word praise. The password is praise. In Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." You know, some people would often say, and not in this church, obviously, but I would hear people say, "Look, I didn't really feel the Lord this morning. Just didn't feel it. I just, the worship wasn't that good, you know. It was too loud or too soft. Or the lights was just too dark. It was like, it's just too bright or whatever. Or that worship leader, you know, it's just like, seriously, what she's on, you know." It's not you, Candace. This is like fictitious. Okay, peace. You hear all these things. And can I tell you that these things, those things might be true, and my emphasis might affect your worship experience, but they're not in themselves worship. See, worship is a process by which your heart, you engage your heart and your mouth, and they work together in unison to give praise to God. It doesn't matter whether the songs that we sing, as you don't like it, it's not about you. It's about God. It's not about the music, but it's about the sound that comes out of your mouth. It is thankfulness and gratefulness. And so I ask you this question this morning. What's the password? What's your password when you wake up? Is it judgment or complaining, negativity, or is it thankfulness? Practice restraint, especially with your tongue. James 3:10, it says, "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." Can I just touch on that? It's not on the screen, but sometimes we praise God, but during the week, we talk about other people. We gossip about other people. So praise and gossip doesn't work. And practice restraint, especially with your tongue. You doing okay?
Yep.
My second point about peace under pressure is that peace has a certain stance. In other words, when your peace under pressure, there's a certain stance you must take. And stance is merely just another word for posture. What's your posture like? So I think Daryl touched on it last week when he was emceeing on Father's Day, a story about our house. So 18 months ago, we had, a vision offering in October, and I think September we were videoing a couple of things. This process started in August last year, and you know, it was just amazing how God just orchestrated everything, you know, and I didn't have much money and all this sort of stuff, just kind of flowed in and everything. And so we did a video for, what's the title of the vision offering? Was it something, God's House, Our Home, or something, I can't remember. But we said, you know, we had a video saying, "Oh, you know, God is this. God is just amazing. He made a way when there's no way." And that is awesome. That is exactly the truth. You know, and we put on our, you know, our pledge and everything, and we were believing. And that was August. So August, September, October was the vision offering. So that's 3 months. And normally it'll only take 3 months for something to go through, you know, maybe, you know, to get your finance approved and stuff like that. Come November, there's just like, there were just like, and my peace was just going, my peace was getting shaken, my peace was just under pressure, calling all these agents and everything like that, and they just wouldn't talk to me. And they said, you know, I have sat here in for three hours filling out all the paperwork and said, yep, you're pre-approved, you know, you're all good, whatever, you know, this amount of money. I said, great, so are you sure? Because I'm like, sometimes get skeptic, like I get suspicious. And I said, yeah, and then he said, you know, I won't be wasting my time for 3 hours sitting with you if I didn't know that you're going to get it. I said, okay, well, that's fair enough. So that happened, and people were saying, oh, yeah, you know, awesome, you know, great. You know, when's the house hunting? Yeah, we've been looking and everything like that. But every time there's a blockage and thinking, what is going on? You know, so December 22. I just phoned the agent and said, what's the deal, you know? And, well, actually, you know, they just tried to have a look, but, you know, they've had a lot of, you know, bank loans and everything like that, and they're very strict now and rah, 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 and gave me all this spiel and then said, yeah, and they just, you know, didn't approve your loan. I said, what do you mean? You told me I was pre-approved, and I was just beside myself, you know. I was just like, peace under pressure, peace under pressure. I was pressured because it feels like, oh, what's people going to think? You know, what am I going to say to people when they ask me for a house and everything like that? And I just like kind of just pretended I didn't, oh, you know, I was still looking, blah, 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 like that. But I was so devastated. And you'd probably understand, like maybe not in this scenario, but a story about happened things that in your life that you thought that God's going to come through, and then all of a sudden it's gone. It's like I was holding on to something temporary, that my peace was attached to something that external. It's not something that God has, you know, has helped me, you know. And even though he's helped me do that and got all these things, it just didn't work. And so there was pressure. Pressure comes to call you out and question, do you really trust God? That's the crux of it. Do you really trust God? If you're holding on to some promise that God has given you and then it's not coming through, it's a test, it's a pressure point to ask, do you really trust God? In the book of Job, you know, I don't know if you know the story, but the devil came and asked God, you know, do you know, your servant, he's just really good and really proper, he's integrous and everything like that. So let me test him. Let me put pressure on him and see what's really inside of him. So for all of us, you know, we might call ourselves a Christian, but sometimes, you know, are we behaving like one? You know, you might dress differently, but is it a counterfeit Christian? And the pressures of life will test you and squeeze you to the point to see what comes out. So pressure proves whether you really believe in the promise. The book of Genesis number 17 is where God promised Abraham that he will be a father to many nations. Even though he was almost 100 years of age and his wife Sarah is about 90, they said, oh, you're going to be the father of many nations and you're going to bear a son. His name's going to be Isaac and everything like that. But I said, they scoffed and laughed and think, what? Are you serious? I can't even bear a son or whatever, you know. I have got nothing left. But God is in the business of calling things that are not as though as there is, you know. He's the God of the impossible. Whatever you are having right now, the pressure that you have right now, God can breathe into that. God can breathe life into that and call the things that are not as though as if they were. So the pressure just calls you out and tests you to prove whether you really believe in the promise. You might say, well, that that's a bit cruel. Why would God want to do that? You know, the question's always like, why does bad things happen to good people? I don't know the 101 answer to that. It's just God is sovereign. You know, we live in a world that is broken. So it says in James 1, 2, verse 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I mean, who has joy when they get tested? This is like something I could just scribble on the Bible, but no, let's not do that. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So the pressure that you're going through is that so that you become mature and complete, and that so you're not lacking anything, because God has called you in a process and to progress, not to digress. You know, God has called us into a fruition, a life of abundance. And so if everything is peachy, then you wouldn't want to praise God. Or are you just going to praise God when things are going well? Or are you going to praise God in the middle of your circumstances, in the middle of your tribulations, in the middle of your trials? You know, that's the testing of our faith. You see, people want the promise, but not the process. There's only certain things that you will learn by going through the storm. So my question this morning is, what has God promised you? What process is God taking you? And what is your stance when it comes to the promises of God? When I say about posture, you know, we said, you know, be still and know. Doesn't mean you just stand there. Be still and know is the fact that God is in control. It doesn't matter if you're 100 or 250 years old, maybe not that long, but doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Don't put an expiry date to God's promises, because He will do it in His own timing. So as Pastor Tony has said a few years back in his sermon, it says, calm your fears, stand your ground, and shut your mouth. Maybe I should say zip your mouth. Calm your fears, stand your ground, and zip your mouth. So when pressure comes, what are you going to do when they come for you? I'm not going to break out into song, but what are you going to do when they come for you? See, peace is not passive. It's proactive. My last point today. Peace has a certain stare. And when I say stare, it just means that peace has a certain look, a certain gaze, a certain focus. Do you know that we all have a certain stare? Meaning, face? We have a default face, a resting face. See, probably a couple of years ago, someone came up to me, and they're not here now, but they just said, Maz, like, I never see you smile. It's like you're always grumpy or something. Like, this don't thing. Like, and I was going, really? Oh, wow. Yeah, you're just always busy, you know? You know, the people who know me, personally know me, they know and they can pick whether I am sad, in pain, frustrated, annoyed. Because we all have that. We have a certain face, facial expression that we give out. And they know when I'm just faking it till I make it, for the people that know me very well. So now I'm very aware of my face. So whenever I walk, I just like... Maybe I could just put a Botox and just do some, like, you know, like everything. Like, so it's whatever. But all jokes aside, we have a default face. We have a certain stare. And so my question is what is your stare? What is your gaze? What is something that you seem to just like have in your face? Because your face sometimes says it all. And I know that, you know, we say this to our leaders, you know, about our posture, and that to be aware of our face and the look that we have. Because you can't be happy here on stage praising God and everything like that, and on there you're like looking like a sour lemon, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't have that. And so it's like about game face, like bring your game face on. And I'm not saying that, oh, well, you know, just fake it till you make, but there's a certain space that you can actually, as a leader, have. And that's not the time, because who knows that the people that are in here, it's not just about us, it's about them. And so it says also in this Chinese proverb that I remembered BT was talking about, is a man without a smiling face must not open shop. So can I say, peace comes when we look up. Not look sideways, not look backwards or anything like that, is when we look up. When we take our time to focus on what God has done for us and not what the things of this world and what's not weighing us down, that's when peace comes. Because I said before, peace is tangible. Peace is internal. Peace is something deeper. And what you focus on will determine your outlook in life, the outcome that you have in life. What you stare at, what you look at, what your gaze is upon, you know, what you magnify in your life will determine whether you will have peace. You know, life happens to all of us. There are certain things that we cannot control, but the only thing that you can control is your gaze, is your focus, is your look, is your stare. So shift your focus to what has not has happened to you, but what God has done for you. You can either focus on the circumstance or the person or whatever that has hurt you and brought you down, or you can focus your gaze upon the one who did it all, which is Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace; his mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Can I have the musicians come, please? We sang the song, "Be Still and Know That the Lord is in Control," and like I said before, it's not about you just standing in there, just waiting for the things to fall on your lap. It's about knowing with assurance the pressure, pre-sure. It's an assurance that God is in control no matter what happens. So stop making things happen in your time, in your own way, and in your own understanding. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So I guess, church, the encouragement for us today that we can take is that not only peace has a certain sound, peace has a certain stance, which is your posture, and peace has a certain stare. We're going to take communion this morning, and if you don't know what communion is, it's just all about acknowledging what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary for us some 2,000 years ago. It's about acknowledging that He was a gap for us. He made a way when there is no way. That through the cross, we can have eternal life. We can receive the peace of God. And like I said this morning, if you didn't know what peace is, you can have that today. more deeper. It's something more than you can ever imagine. You know, the reality is you can't have peace anywhere you go, everywhere you go, or for yourselves if you first don't have peace with God. That is your platform. That is the foundation. You might be grabbing things that are just temporary, but the peace of God is more eternal. So before we hand the communion, I want to ask each and every one of you, are you at peace with God? Do you have peace? Because you can have that today if you don't know that. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed this morning, I want to give people some privacy. It's not going to be an embarrassing moment, but I want to ask you personally, do you know Jesus? Do you have the peace that I'm talking about today? The peace that passes all understanding? Have that peace, I want you to slip up your hand, look me in the eye, I will acknowledge you, I will look at you, and I'll ask you to put your hand down and I will pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to ask you to come up the front and parade you here. This is about, this moment, this God moment is about you and God. And like I said before, have peace with God. So is anyone here today that needs that peace? Can you please slip up your hand right now? And I will come, I will acknowledge you, and I will pray for you. Okay. Well, I trust that God, that you're at peace with God. Whatever that may look like for you. So, can the service team distribute the emblems, please? And we're going to sing this song. And once you receive your emblem, you please stand.